chapter 2. That's a good place to start in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2 and James, the book of James chapter 3. Thanks for being here this morning, and thanks for giving me your mind, or giving your mind to the scriptures for the next few moments. Genesis chapter 2 and James chapter 3. While you're turning there again, 6 o'clock tonight, if you're already a Christian, please, please come back. Give us a little opportunity to give you a second portion of the Word of God tonight, something totally different. Genesis chapter 2 and James chapter 3. Genesis 2, James chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 2, notice if you would in verse 21 beginning, James 2 and verse 21, holding your place in James chapter 3. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Verse 25. And they were both, what? Naked. They didn't have clothes on. The man and his wife. And were not ashamed. Why weren't they ashamed of being naked? Because they didn't know they were naked. They didn't know what naked meant. When they finally, if you would, disobey in verse 11 of chapter 3, God comes back and says, "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" He created, if you would, Adam and Eve, man and woman. He created them in a total, total innocence. They did not know they were naked, and they were not ashamed. Why? There was not an ounce of pride in them. Hold your place in Genesis 2. You say, "Man, I don't know if I'd want to be that innocent." James chapter 3. Holding your place in, if you would, Genesis chapter 2, look at James chapter 3. I think you would want to be what this Bible says, and I would want to be it also. Look at James chapter 3, and notice verse 17. Here's the way God created an Adam and Eve in innocency. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be treated." Brethren, in Adam and Eve, before they sinned, there was no arguments. They were at perfect peace with God. They were at perfect peace with each other. And they were at perfect peace with themselves. They were in innocency, and they didn't know anything about good and evil. Everything was just perfect. But look what it says about this wisdom that's from above, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. And would you say the next three words, everybody, please? And without hypocrisy. Would you say it again? And without hypocrisy. God, when he created man and woman, did not make them hypocrites. This man and woman named Adam and Eve was the two before Jesus Christ, the only, if you would, that were non-hypocritical. Unfortunately, two out of three became hypocritical. There's only one who's ever lived on the face of this earth that was not a hypocrite. Would you agree with that statement? I mean, everybody else, including Adam and Eve, became hypocrites. Everybody in this room is a hypocrite. You know what gets me sometimes? Here we are down here, and we, me too. And here we are as hypocrites judging other hypocrites. Isn't that something what we do? Because everybody here was born with a fallen mind. You were born not in innocency, although you didn't understand, if you would, when you were a little child, like I didn't understand. I mean, when we got out of the bathtub, and if we got away from mom, we went running through the house gleefully and didn't even know we were naked. But we still had that fallen mind, because it didn't take us long to learn how to lie. And we didn't even have to learn it. It was just in there. Is that right? Yes or no? I mean, we lied to protect our hide, didn't we? Come on, talk to me now. And we were born, if you would, and say, "I wasn't born a hypocrite." Yes, you were. You were born in Adam after the likeness of the first Adam. So was I. Everybody is. They're born in a fallen state as hypocrites. Come on, would you agree with that? We were not born in innocency, because it didn't take us long to understand, if you would, some of the things going on, and we understood good and evil. And would you agree with this, brethren? They were better off in innocency. They were much better off in innocency. Can't you see that period of time, however it went and however long it was, they just got along so well together? They got along with God. They got along with themselves. Everything was perfect. Hey, please look up here. Innocency does not mean being dumb. Let me say it again. Innocency in this Bible does not mean being dumb. It means being very intelligent. In fact, the ultimate intelligence was Adam and Eve and the way they were created. Come on, yes or no? Talk to me now. They were the most highly intelligent man and woman at that time, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, ever to walk the face of the earth, because they didn't know good or evil. You say, man, I don't want to know right and wrong. If you could only know right, all you knew was right. I know nothing wrong. Nothing. I don't understand wrong. Wrong is void in my understanding. I don't understand what's evil. I don't understand what's wrong. All I do is think right. Now, don't call that dumb. Call that very intelligent. Would you agree with that? Come on, talk to me. Look, hold your place in James chapter 3, and notice, if you would, go back to Genesis. Go back to Genesis. See, people have this thing about innocency, saying, oh man, you're so naive. Naive concerning what? Brethren, I think it would be wonderful to grow up totally naive of anything evil. And if that means I didn't have to know what good or bad was, all I knew was, man, I don't know. I don't have any bad thoughts, because I don't know what bad means. Bad has not entered. Darkness has not entered into my brain yet. God created me in total light. And there is no shadow of darkness up there. And I am just enjoying God's fellowship, the Garden of Eden, my wife over here. And we are in just perfect harmony. And we're not ashamed. No insecurities, no fear. No wondering what she's thinking about me today. I don't even question whether she loves me or not. Come on now, you're thinking, aren't you? Come on. So here's what happens. Stay with me. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Satan shows up to tempt. And he says in Genesis 3, look at verse 5. But God, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be, what? Say it. Open. Open to what? Evil. Darkness. And then your eyes shall be open. Ye shall be as gods, little g, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desires to make one, say it, wise. Mark it down. She was after the wrong kind of wisdom. She was already all wise. Look up here. She was already all wise. All she knew was good, and that's all she needed to know. But she didn't even need to know that she knew good and evil. She just needed to know what was going on up there, that everything was perfect. She was already all wise. See, there's two kinds of wisdom. There's wisdom from above, and then there's earthly wisdom. Come on. And what was about ready to happen, she was going to get wise. We would call it, she was going to get streetwise. Come on, stay with me now. Hold your place there and look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And notice the wisdom that flooded into their brains when they disobeyed God and broke God's rule, God's law. Look, if you would, in James it says that there is a wisdom that comes from this earth. And it's a wisdom that is sensual. If you would, that is devilish. Look at James chapter 3 and notice, if you would, verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual. Say the next word, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is what? Confusion. Brother, wait a minute, hold it. There was no confusion in their brain when they were innocent. None. They didn't wake up confused. They weren't confused in the middle of the day. That word never entered into their vocabulary. Adam never looked at Eve and said, I'm confused. What do you mean by that? They were in perfect harmony. You say, no way that could be. Wait a minute, wait a minute. No way an amoeba could crawl out of the water and turn into a man and a woman and be that. No way, that way. But when they were created by God, that's what the Bible says they were. And you did not come from an amoeba that got a wart one day and grew a leg. Come on, that's ridiculous. So the idea was there was no confusion, and watch it, verse James chapter 3, verse 16. There is where strife, where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. They didn't know anything about any kind of evil work. They were in innocency. Look back at James chapter 3. Stay with me. We're going somewhere. In James chapter 3, I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, back one more time. In Genesis chapter 3, so they eat of the fruit and they break God's law. And the next thing you know, the Bible says this in Genesis 3. Look at verse 7. And the eyes of them both were what? Opened. Opened to what? Good and evil. And now it says this, and they knew that they were naked. When they knew they were naked, they were immediately ashamed. Why? That was pride now. Now they're in that fallen state. And the next thing you see them do is hide themselves from God. When they were innocent, they were not hiding from God. That's why it's better for a young child to get saved. The older we get and the more we're around evil, the harder it is to get rid of that evil and get to God. Would you agree with that statement? That's why he said, suffer not the little children to come. Let them come, he said. Why? Because he knows they're not corrupted so much. Yes, corrupted. And by the way, may I say something to you? We were born with a corruptible mind. I go back and say, isn't it amazing that we with corruptible minds judge others with corruptible minds? Isn't it amazing that we with a fallen mind judge others with a fallen mind? That's why he says you better temper your judgment. You better be careful. I mean, one hypocrite judging another, one fallen mind judging another fallen mind, saying, well, my mind's not as fallen as yours is. One corrupt mind saying, whoa, your mind is really corrupt. Come on now. I mean, fallen is fallen, corrupt is corrupt. Maybe we ought to just let God be the judge. So the idea then is this, they were now in this corrupt state of mind, and they hide themselves from God. And the first thing this man does is what we would have all done, men. When God shows up and said, what have you done, Adam? What have you done? You've went out and you've broken the rule I gave you, Adam. What have you done, Adam? And by the way, Adam did break the rule too. He was not deceived. The Bible says Adam was not deceived. He did it of his own free will. I know Eve did too. But Adam is the first one God talks to after this. He does not go to the woman and say, what you've done. He goes to Adam and say, come here, boy. Well, not quite that. Look what it says. Look if you would, verse 11. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree which I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, now with a fallen mind, now with a corrupt mind, the woman, that woman. Before he was saying, hey, she's of my bone, she's of my flesh. And now he's saying in his corrupt, fallen mind, that woman. Come on, look at me now. Don't get up and walk out right now. Come on. That woman. And then notice the second indictment. Whom thou gavest to be with me. First it was the woman, and then it was God. Brethren, that's all he knows to blame. That's only God and woman. That's all that he knows is in existence. So he blames everything he can on everything else he knows. Yes or no? He only knows God and Eve. He can't blame it on the animals. So he blames the woman and he blames God. And that's what a fallen mind does. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. An innocent mind, there is no blame because they do nothing wrong. Come on now. So he blames. And by the way, such starts the strife. Why did he blame? Brethren, pride. Only by pride cometh what? Say it. Contention. And now pride, if you would, is influencing Adam. And on down it goes. We won't go into detail. You see what's happened. I'm saying to you, they were better off in innocency. And when they became wise concerning that was evil, they became dumb. Say, what are you inferring? I'm inferring that we're born dumb. Don't put me down that way. I come to be lifted up. Wait a minute. The message isn't over yet. Don't get offended. Because we can be born again. But when we're born in this world, we're born in corruption. And this corrupt must put on incorruption. Come on, is that right? Yes or no? Oh, but it's a sweet little baby. I know, but give that baby time. It's already in that baby. That corrupt mind's already in there. Born in that after the similitude of, if you would, the first Adam. Needing to be born again after the similitude of the last Adam. Did not say the second Adam, it says the last Adam. Who is Jesus Christ? Is that right? So the idea is, brethren, we would agree then this. By principle, it is better to be innocent or lean towards innocency or lean towards naivety concerning evil than it is to understand all manner and forms of evil. Would you agree with that statement? Yeah, let me say it again. It is better to go as much as we can towards innocency. I don't want to know that. I don't want to understand that. I don't want to study that. I don't want to linger around that. Yeah, but how can you minister to them? I'll minister to them with the Word of God. I don't have to understand it all. Would you agree with this statement? I'm going to show you scriptures in a minute. Would you agree with this statement? Let's say in marriage, over here is the virgin mindset. Over here is anything but virgin. Let's take a man. Over there, a man who's going to get married is a virgin mindset. Over here, and I could use a term, it's not. That man, let's just say this, has spent too much time watching and seeing something. Let's go there. And that's good enough. Now you tell me, which sets him up better for marriage? Oh, but he said, you're over here. He's innocent and doesn't know anything. Oh, if I were a woman, I'd say, okay, good. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah. I don't want him to know all that stuff over there. Yeah. I want to be the Eve in his life. Yeah. I want him focused on me. I don't want him to learn what he's supposed to learn about taking care of me over there, because that's not how I want to be treated. I don't want him to think that way about me. I don't want him to consider that about me. I want to do what the Bible says and just me and him. Now let me show you scripture, all right? Because some of you say, no, no, you know, you got to know a little bit. Listen to me. I'm sure that two innocent virgin mindsets will do just fine today. Well, you say, now wait a minute, what if we've already strayed and we're over here? Let's not go any further. Let's stop right there. Let's just say, hey, I know enough already about all that stuff. Look, if you would, stay with me now. And notice Romans 16. Everybody still all right? We're going somewhere now. Let me get on with this thing so we don't turn into 1 o'clock by the time we get done. Oh, I got to give you the end of the trail. Do you understand what I mean? Look at Romans 16, but we got to get on the trail here first a little bit. Romans 16 and 1 Corinthians 14, real quick. Romans 16, 1 Corinthians 14. And I could just read the scriptures, and I will read some, but I want you to see biblically why. And you might want to just put a little tick mark and go back and study it. Romans 16, verse 19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. Romans 16, 19. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning what? Evil. Now, brethren, that was written and inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So it is the will of God. I would. That is a will. I would. It's my will that you would be wise concerning that which is good. But I want you simple. What does simple mean? Unexperienced. Ignorant. It's okay if you're ignorant concerning evil. That would be better. We all right with that? Look at what 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Thanks for turning there. I watch your time. You don't have to. You can be innocent concerning time. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Now watch what he says again, verse 20. First word, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. First word is what? Say it, everybody. Brethren, that's us. Be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children. But in understanding be men. Why? Because malice is evil. He says, I don't want you to mature in malice. I don't want you to become an adult in your malice. I don't want you to become an adult in your anger. I want you to be a child in that. But in understanding, you grow up. You be men. Now, there's some words that he says. He says this, that we should abhor that which is evil. He said we should abstain from all appearances of evil. He said we should eschew evil. He does not want us messing with it. Would you agree with that statement? Well, if I just mess with it a little bit, then I'll understand it better, and I'll come back later, and then I'll minister. No! No. Well, I need all that experience. You won't find that in here. Search it, search it, search it, search it. You won't find him saying, go out and get a little experience with evil so I can use you. That would be against his principles, yes or no? Now, wait a minute, be careful. Don't sit there as a fallen, hypocritical, corrupt mind and judge somebody else. And I'm telling myself the same. My judgment is not for you today. My judgment is for me today. I have to look at where I'm at. Now, he just didn't say get rid of evil. He said something else. Stay with me now. We're almost there. Look, if you would, at Romans 12. And thanks for turning to the scripture with me. Romans 12. And then here's one. I want you to turn to the third book of John. You say, third book of John? Yeah, chapter 1. Come on now. Third John. That's back towards the book of Revelation and Jude. And also, please, would you turn to Romans 12? I won't ask you to turn to much more. Romans 12. And in Romans 12, notice now what he says, because he just doesn't say get rid of evil, but he says replace that evil with something. Stay with me now. Look at Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 21 and watch the principle. Watch the principle. Verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with something. What? Good. He wants us wise concerning good. Why? So the wise of the good overcomes that which is evil. He wants the new man to be over the old man. Would you agree with that statement? He says, overcome evil with good. Therefore, we have to feed ourselves with good. If we don't feed ourselves with good, evil will overtake. Would you agree with that statement? Come on. Just living in this world. If we don't be proactive in our studying of good, in our thinking of good, in our hanging around, good hypocrites. Come on now. I'd rather hang around good hypocrites than evil hypocrites. But sometimes I don't even want to hang around myself. Okay, get that. All right, look at chapter 13, Romans 13, watch. Well, what should we do to overcome evil with good? Verse 14, last verse, chapter 13. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're putting on good. Would you agree with that? And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's evil. Now, watch what he says. Stay with me. Look at 3 John, 3rd book of John. Same principle. And if he says it twice, you know it must be important. 3 John, beloved. Uh-oh, there it is, brethren. Beloved, that's us. Beloved, brethren. Verse 11. Verse 11 of 3 John. Follow not that which is evil, but that which is, say it, good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Brethren, you know what it says, follow that which is evil, but that which is, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good? He's talking here about people. He that doeth good is God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. He's talking about following people that follow God. He's talking about following God. It's good to be in church today. Yeah. It's good to be under the preaching of God's word. All right. Here's what I got. I recognize that I'm not supposed to go after evil, but you know what? the evil that I wouldn't do, that do I. You say, where'd you get that from? Romans. I mean, the things I don't want to do are the things I sometimes do. And the good that I would, that do I not. So it's a struggle, is that right? Everybody in this room is struggling. Look up here. Maybe you're not as struggling as much as you used to, but everybody in this room has struggled. And when somebody is struggling, it's not a good time to come over and kick them.
Come on now. Yeah.
Because if you've ever been kicked when you're struggling, you know what it feels like. You don't need somebody to kick you. You need somebody to say, I'll pray for you. We'll make it. From one hypocrite to another, I'm gonna hope you make it. Come on. You can do it. We'll do it together. But with salvation starts a journey. You say, what journey is that? It's a journey that leads back to ultimately towards innocency that we've never been at before. You say, I don't get it. We were born with a corrupt mind. We have never had yet a truly pure, incorruptible mind. But salvation begins the journey towards that goal. Would you agree with that? Somebody says, why should I get saved? So you can head toward innocency. So you can head towards incorruptible. Come on now. You say, show me the scriptures on that. Look at Revelations chapter 21 and Isaiah 65. Come on, you're doing well now. Revelation, I hope I'm presenting this well. Revelation 21, and if I'm not, we'll just let God take care of the rest. Amen. Revelation 21 and Isaiah 65. You're doing well because I can hear you thinking. You say, what do you mean you can hear me thinking? Your quietness says you're thinking. I can hear it. You can hear quietness, is that right?
Yes, sir.
When a congregation gets quiet, you're not falling asleep. A congregation that's quiet is thinking. I can hear you thinking. Look, if you would, at Revelation 21 and Isaiah 65. Because you know what? It's really hard to stand up and shout over something like this. Hard to. Yeah, that's right. Get him, preacher. You can't, because we're all got corrupt minds. Is that all right with that? I agree with that. So I'm saying amen, because that person needs to know I agree with that. Let's all agree that we're hypocrites. Fallen. Needing to be saved, and after saved, heading towards innocency. All at different phases of our journey towards it, but all heading towards the same goal. Now, for the saved person, when we get to heaven, something wonderful is going to happen. First of all, something wonderful called passing from death to life. Marriage supper and the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ for the Christian after salvation is where we give an account of the things done in our body, whether it be good or bad. Come on now. That's in the book. Me too. That we give an account of every idle word. Me too. Look up here. That I give an account as a pastor regarding your soul. That's where I start. And there's going to have to be some tears wiped away. Because if I understand this correctly up to that point in time, he hasn't wiped out what needs to be wiped out yet. I got to give an account. Hey, you can't give an account if you don't remember. Come on, is that right? So I got to give an account. It's like, all right, this. Okay, here's my account. It was wrong. I shouldn't have done it. I knew better. Give an account. Oh, I remember that. Sorry. But I'm not condemned. I'm in Christ. But I got to give an account, so I have to remember. But I don't want to give an account for all eternity. So I don't want to remember this stuff for all eternity. And after the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there's other things, but comes Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven, stay with me, and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were what? What we're living on right now, what we're living in right now, the Bible says will be what? Say it. Passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw, you need to see this, this is important, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Don't forget New Jerusalem. That's so important. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Watch this now. Neither what? Brethren, in innocency there is no sorrow. Adam and Eve never, ever, ever, before they fell, said, I'm sorry. Because they never did wrong. They didn't know what right and wrong was, so they couldn't do wrong. God didn't create them to do wrong. God didn't create them as hypocrites. Come on, stay with me now. Don't lose me. There was no apologies necessary. So he's going to wipe away the sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain for the, say it, former things are what? Passed away. Now wait a minute. When that New Jerusalem comes down, I want you to hold your place in Revelation 21. Hold your place there and go to Isaiah 65. We'll wrap it all up in a minute. Isaiah 65. Everybody all right? Come on, you're doing well. And this is Bible. You say, I don't know if I believe this or not. You have to take this by faith. There's no way you could say, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. Just take it by faith. Isaiah 65, you're doing well. Watch verse 17. And by the way, may I say this? I don't care what somebody's taught you out besides this. Look at the Bible. Read it for yourself. Well, I think it's this way. You know what? There are all kinds of guys out there doing all kinds of things, dreaming up all kinds of stuff, and putting Bible verses to it. Read what it says in Isaiah 65 and notice the correlation. Verse 17. For behold, I create, say it, new heavens and a what? New earth. What's that? Revelation 21. And the former, what's the former? This one. Shall not be, say it, nor come into mind. That's what it says. You say, well, how can he do that? The only way he can bring us back to incorruptible is to wipe out our memory of this earth. You won't remember who you were married to. Oh, my love, that person so much. How can you be married to that person and be married to Jesus Christ in heaven? You don't want to walk by and say, there's my former wife. Yeah, we were married for 60 years down there, till death do us part. That was her, right there. You just say, that's a terrible thing to say. When you get to heaven, you're not going to say, well, let me pick and choose what I want to remember. Because you don't want to walk over there and say, 60 years. And I always wanted to say this, and I never did. Come on. Wouldn't it be better just to have it all wiped out? I don't remember. I don't know who you are. I'm not saying. It's all wiped out. Come on now. Humanism right now, the human mind, the human thinking, the humanistic thinking will say, can't be. I got too many good memories. And how about all the other stuff? He says right there, take it for what he says, shall not remember nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create, say it, Jerusalem, a, say it, rejoicing, and her people, a what? Joy. Because they're innocent, and they're joyous, and they're back to where Adam and Eve started, and there's no sorrow, there's no apology, there's no pain, there's no hypocrisy. None. But we didn't do it ourselves. And I will rejoice, verse 19, in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. Watch. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Why? Because he wipes out the memory of this earth. Now go back to Revelation 21. Stay with me. You're doing well. Come on. We're on a journey. Somebody says, why do you want to go to heaven? Are you kidding? Somebody says, streets of gold. Well, that's fine, but that's not it. A pearly gates. That's fine, but that's not it. That's God's creation. I'm for it. I want to see it. Angels, seraphims, cherubims. I want to see it. But that's not it. Innocency. Not knowing good or evil. Being in perfect harmony with God. Not hiding ourselves from Him. Never have to say, Lord, I want to repent of this again. I'm sorry. Never say that anymore. Never. Revelation 21, watch it, stay with me. Verse 27, don't miss it. Verse 27, he's talking about that city that's coming down. Read it sometime. And there shall in no wise enter into it, Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, anything that defileth it. Brethren, look up here. You know what I have right now? A defiled mind. Oh, it's reborn, it's regenerated, but there's an old and a new. And there's a defiled mind up there. That can't get into the new city. So what does he do? He takes this little finite mind and all the things I've done and all the things I remember, and he says, it's all wiped out. Amen. I don't remember Singapore. I don't remember Thailand. Come on, yeah. And you say, what's that? You don't want to know. I don't want to know. Right. I can't wait till I don't know. Right. Can't wait. Yeah. You say, my mind's not that bad. Compared to what it will be, it's bad. We all right with that? Because you're looking at me like, I can't receive this. You're bringing my esteem now. No, I'm giving you hope. This is not, I'm going to make myself better. This is, I can't make myself better. I have to yield to the Holy Spirit of God, who makes me a little better down here and works on me to eschew evil and keep me from it and present me spotless. But one of these days, God's going to wipe out my memory and wipe out this corruptible and wipe out my fallen nature, and I'm going to be what He intended me to be in perfect fellowship with Him. That's where I'm heading. Nothing that defileth, neither whatsoever work of abomination or maketh a lie, but that which are written, they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Statement, you will not read in this Bible where the people that are cast away from God forever ever have their minds wiped out. You will not find it in there. I've read it word by word, cover to cover, so many times. It is not in there. It says where their worm dieth not. And there shall be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. That's what it says. You say, what's gnashing of teeth? Grinding. What are they grinding about? What's going on up here? Come on, look at me. Oh, you say, that's when they're in hell. What happens when they get out of hell and they're cast in a lake of fire? It never says their memory's wiped out. What do they remember? Their opportunities, evidently, maybe for all eternity. You say, oh, how can a loving God do that? I never knew you. I don't know who you are. You're not mine. You're not one of mine. How can a loving God do that? A just God. A righteous God. And you and I are not making the decisions. Our opinion doesn't matter. God's not going to confer with us. Hello? I've realized something. Older I got, more I'm a leader. God doesn't confer with me on much. I confer with Him an awful lot, but He doesn't say to me, what do you think about that situation? What do you think about that person? You know what the Holy Spirit says? It's none of your business. Help them. Don't judge them. Just help them. You do better that way. Judge yourself. Oh, he that righteous judges all things. I understand all that stuff. But with the measure we mete out, the same will come back to us again. The older I get, the more I say, you know what? Boy, I tell you what, when I was 20, I used to, man, I wouldn't judge that hard. First got saved, man, my zeal, anything, I would judge that one. But anymore, I say, no, not with what I've been through. No. I understand. Let Him alone. Let God be His judge. If I have to judge it, okay, Lord, you tell me, and I'll do what I have to do. But, I don't want to jump into that. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are just got saved or been saved for a while. It's like, oh, no, I'm a judge. Hang on, buddy.
Yeah.
Wait till you go through the valley a few times. It'll soften that a bit. And then you'll be more useful.
Amen.
I got quiet. Come on, you got quiet. Hey, from one hypocrite to another, all right? Let's have a little fellowship. You got quiet on you. And by the way, if you're in here without Christ and you don't know Christ as your Savior, please listen to me. You will remember this message for all eternity. You will remember this little face, this bony little finger saying, why don't you get saved?
Amen.
We're not judging you. You can either be a lost hypocrite or a saved hypocrite. I'd much rather be a saved hypocrite heading for innocency to be here, have that hypocrisy wiped out. We can move towards innocence. We can move towards less evil. We become a little bit less of a hypocrite as we move towards God. Would you agree with that? But we don't make the ultimate decision, or if you would, the ultimate crossing until we get to heaven. Judgment seat of Christ, we remember. Give an account. And then he says, all right, that's done. Now, wait a minute. Do we give an account for our salvation? No. Salvation is secured not by our work, but by the work of Jesus on the cross and our acceptance of his work. Yes or no? It's not our works, lest we should boast. Nobody will boast in heaven. Nobody. But what's the judgment seat of Christ? For what we've done in our bodies, and we either gain or suffer loss. 1 Corinthians, is that right? Come on. Well, what does that do? It determines some things in the millennium and in eternity. Why should I work? Why should I be careful to maintain good works? There's a lot of reasons. That's a whole other message.
Yeah.
But during the millennium, we are in innocency.
Amen.
Oh, you need to think about that. All eternity in New Jerusalem. It's going to be a wonderful place. Where's the focus going to be in New Jerusalem? God. Totally. No distractions. Why? Because we don't know anything about evil. There's no evil present. Oh, that sounds so boring. Are you kidding me? This is boring. That is wonderful. Hey, there's no party in hell. There's no party in the lake of fire. Hey, it's where the worm dieth not. They're in total oblivion darkness. It's called outer darkness. They're making that stuff up in the music. But I wouldn't want anybody to go there. And the older I get, the less I want people to go there. But if you're in it there, the sound of my voice, you say, well, I just don't believe that. Okay? I wish you would. I wish you'd take the time and let us show you some scriptures how to be saved. Or even pray right where you're at. You could do that. If the convicting power of God is there, you don't need us. You can get saved on your own. But we could show you the scriptures and show you how to get saved and pray with you. We don't want anything from that. Come on now. Well, say, what would that do? On the day you got born again, you would be heading towards innocence. And the Holy Spirit would say, all right, now let's get rid of this evil. Let's get rid of that evil. Let's get rid of that evil. Let's get rid of that evil. Let's work on this evil. I know you got this memory of that, but we don't have to stimulate it anymore.
Amen.
Come on, is that right?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit will say, Doug, I want you to move this way, away from that stimulation. I don't want you sparked about that evil anymore. I want you to abstain from that, so I'm going to convict you in your conscience. Because I love you.
Yes.
So you stay away from that which will hinder your walk with God.
Yes, sir.
All right, Phil? What does the conscience do? It either accuses or excuses, Romans. Why? Because God wants to move us, or the Holy Spirit wants us to move us towards a spotless bride.
Amen.
Practical righteousness, too. Come on, is that right? Abstain from that. Abhor that. Eschew that. Don't like that anymore. Pray for them that are doing, but don't like the evil.
Right.
And don't mess with it anymore.
That's good preaching.
I'm moving you this way, not that way.
Yeah.
That's why we have preaching on some standards.
Amen.
That's not, you got to be like me. That's, let's move direction away from evil. That's all that is. Why? So we can have better fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1. Is that right? This is not we as a church are right and they as a church are wrong. That has nothing to do with nothing. That's just a bunch of hypocrites having another opinion from another bunch of hypocrites. Are we all right? I mean, here's the reason. Here's the motive. Come on. Let's go this way and move away from evil. Come on. Let's go this way. Let's get simple. And look up here. The more time you're away from it, the more you get simple. I mean, if you can stay away from it for 20 years,
come on.
It's like, I have a recollection of it, but I don't want to think about it. It's not got me anymore.
Right.
I'm clean. I'm clear of it. It's not got me anymore. It used to dominate me and control me and be on my mind all the time, but it's not anymore.
Amen. Yeah.
By God's grace, not by my own willpower, but by God's grace.
Yeah.
And by yielding to the Holy Spirit what He's done, I'm free from that now over there. But now God's showing me something else.
Yeah.
I mean,
uh-oh. Yeah.
See that little member?
Free.
You say, don't stick your tongue out at me. If you're listening to this on tape, I just stuck my tongue out. If you're driving, look in the mirror, stick your tongue out, and look at it. The Bible calls it an unruly evil that no man can tame, but the Holy Spirit can work on. Come on, is that right? I mean, when we talk about what all that lust and all that, what about this tongue?
Yeah.
Words.
Yeah.
Boy. We all right?
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait till you come back tonight.
Woo!
In heaven, you will not remember what I did to you, and I will not remember what you did to me. We will be in perfect harmony. If that is a person I got a grudge against, you're wasting your time. Because in heaven there will be no grudges. You'll say, then I'm going to enjoy it while I can. You're not getting the enjoyment out of it. Not if you're led by the Holy Spirit. He's going to say, how long are we going to play these little high school games? Let's grow in grace. Let me help you to forgive that person and pray for them to despitefully use you. You say what? Let's move towards innocence, even down here, and get free. Let me go back to where I started. I'm almost finished. Innocency is not dumb. Innocency is wise. Insulation? What do you mean insulation? Protection from evil? There's nothing wrong with that. Teaching our children to protect themselves from evil? Somebody says, well, you're keeping them in the greenhouse. What does that mean? What does that mean? Maybe you're right. What is your definition of a greenhouse? An insulated environment where we're trying to not let evil corrupt their minds? And we're trying to say, learn from us? And it's not perfect. Even the greenhouse isn't perfect. Even if you go live in the country, 3,000 miles from the city, by yourself, still up there.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not against country living. Don't say, okay, I like that until you talk about country living. You got to go where you're called.
Right.
Wherever God calls, that's where you live. That's what you do. But brethren, even in this big city, there can be a somewhat of a sequestering. Not recluse, I said a sequestering. A quarantine from evil. What does that mean? Brethren, we don't go places where they promote it.
Yeah.
And we're going to preach about it.
Yeah.
To influence. Are we all right? Come on. Why would you do that? I don't see anything wrong with that. Look at it closely. It's promoting something. If it's not promoting God and good, then it's probably promoting evil and bad. It's not, here's my opinion. And if you don't walk just like me, this thing about get right with God, sooner or later, that's got to go out the window. Maybe I'll just look at yourself in the mirror, like I do, and say, get right with God.
Amen.
Just get right with God.
Yeah.
Look at your own evil in your own life.
Oh.
I've got plenty to do just by looking at what I got going on, let alone looking at what somebody else has got going on. We all right, sir?
Yeah.
I mean, let me just walk right up here and say, you better get right with God in this area. Who are you? Who are you? Oh, I wish you'd come back. Because if we're not careful, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, that's it. I got more, but the time's over. In fact, I'm 5 minutes over. But you've been an instance of some of you didn't even say, no, I've been watching. I didn't know. Now what are we going to do about it? Oh, preacher, do you think the altar will be flooded today? Nope. I'm hoping you carry this out. And I'm hoping you send me to think about that. I see. There's a reason. And if you've never received Christ as your Savior, look up and listen. Get one look, one more good look. This ugly little face will haunt you. Look. And don't be surprised when you remember it. I remember that preacher bending down and look at me. Man, he was ugly. One of these days, I won't be in this body. Won't bother me a bit. I didn't create it like this. I just have to live in it. You say, well, I don't want to remember that forever. Then get saved. And you won't have to remember this forever. With your heads bowed. Please don't leave. I won't take long. And your eyes closed. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure of my salvation. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, Pastor, please pray for me, for my salvation. I'm not sure. Oh, I don't want to remember this forever. I want to go towards innocence. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you allow me the privilege, no tricks, no gimmicks, to pray for you? If that's you, sir, ma'am, would you slip up your hand right now? With everybody's head bowed and eye closed, say, pray for me. Sure, good, thank you. Good, thank you. Thank you for allowing. Someone else, sir, ma'am, no pressure, just asking. Good, thank you. Father, please draw these who are genuinely concerned about their soul and their eternal destiny. Draw them to yourself, please, in a way only you can do, to Jesus Christ, your Son. I believe they're sincere. I believe you got them here for a reason. And Lord, by faith, we believe you want to do work in their life to begin their journey towards innocency. You raised your hand for salvation, if you would, with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you would, just look at me just for a moment. I'm not going to look at you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to look at you. We have what we call an old-fashioned altar call where people come. And we pray with them. We'll give them some literature. We'll help you. We'll show you the Bible. We're not asking anything from you. It would be a privilege to be able to pray with you and show you the Scripture. Give you some information to study about. And let us work with you just a little bit. But we realize it's between you and God. And we won't judge you. Our judgment doesn't matter. It's what's in your heart with God. But we would like that opportunity. In just a moment, we'll give an altar opportunity. And when that comes, if you would, if you raise your hand, just come. And we'll work with you privately. No tricks, no gimmicks. Father, please bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand to your feet? Whether it's for yourself, someone you know, whether it's for someone you brought, whether it's for concern about your walk with God, whatever your need is, we invite you to an old-fashioned altar. It was rock, and it was brick, and it was temple, and it was dirt, and now it's a carpeted floor. As the instruments play, you raise your hand for salvation. Come right now, sir, ma'am, come right now. Say, excuse me, I'm going up there to pray. And come and let us, if you're a man, let another man and woman, let another woman see the people at the aisle here. And we'll help you to understand. If you need something to take home with you, reach out.